NA players aren't capable of or NA teams aren't capable with such consistency that TSM and Haunter would be forced to adapt. Like maybe they'll catch TSM, you know, off guard with it once, but it doesn't even necessarily mean that they'll beat TSM in the game. So TSM won't go back and evaluate it and like assess like, oh, this is a really big problem. You know, we can't do something like this. We can't have you path like this. So TSM ends up getting away with a lot of stuff simply because the opposition is worse. And so TSM goes into these tournaments and they play their own game. But something like what I was saying on the stream earlier, Haunter might be better than other, you know, NA top, like top laners inside of NA. Svenskeren might be better than other junglers inside of NA. And then because top and mid are 2v2 lanes, Haunter Svenskeren might be a better 2v2 dynamic than, you know, the enemy top, enemy jungle. And then you factor in Svenskeren Bjergsen, then you factor in Double Lift Biofrost, are going to have a lot of edges down in bottom lane versus other teams, etc. And you get all of these scenarios that will end up occurring and unfolding where Haunter's not asked to do advanced things anymore in order to win lane. He can just sort of do it without thinking. So when you arrive at the world stage, all of these things that I think that they don't even think about start occurring, and suddenly the advantages that they would normally find themselves having are not being found anymore. And you know, the type of pressure relief that Haunter could expect to have inside of mid lane or bottom lane is not occurring anymore. And so now it's almost like they're just sitting and they're waiting to die. TSM are fantastic in NA. They're great. But the problem is that how do you really get adequate practice when Haunter is allowed to make decisions like what he's making in the Worlds games, but the enemy teams are incapable of punishing the same way that Worlds teams are? And then you just play against that 100 games over. Now, you might lose the same in the same manner that you lose in the Worlds games, but because it happens with such infrequent, like it happens so infrequently that you don't even pay attention to it because you chalk it up to something else. Or the same situation that causes you to have a huge problem in the world game occurs in a scrim versus an NA team, but then because you have Bjergsen and fucking Double Lift and Haunter's still better than most of the players, you just win out in the long game anyway, and then you never even assess the problem that you got into. And I mean, that's the problem itself.
I mean, for Worlds, everyone goes and they have their boot camp mm-hmm. and they scrim versus all the teams. So that's why I'm coming back to the fact that surely some of this has to come down to coaches as well, because again, you are seeing these things. You're getting chances to learn from your mistakes, to identify things, to improve. And either nothing happened, or if anything, you got worse.
Right. I don't know what's going on during the boot camps. I'm not entirely defending the coaching staff of TSM at all. I'm just saying that their drafts are not fucking why they lost. You could have handed SKT, Longzhu, KT, you could fucking have handed Afrika, some of those drafts, and they would have smacked the opponent's team. So where the fuck's the draft talk in that?
Now, part of their essential identity, which comes from Reginald, now he perceived the game and competition was like a fearlessness that like winning's everything. You have to win now and not later, short term. And then you build that in the later. You have the massive expectations. You literally demand people do certain jobs, whether they're necessarily capable or whether it's responsible. And so you just demand it. And then at the end, you push them as hard as you can. And you hope at the end, you get a lot of success. But you know what? Like a lot of teams that had that kind of a formula, Manchester United in football, obviously in American football, the Patriots, it breaks people. It messes with them. It fucks with them. It skews them. It warps. It makes them less, or it makes them more in a certain way. And then eventually you have to throw them away. So as a result, you have a big churn of players. And as a result, I think what you find is, yes, their ability to course correct during the splits, incredible, especially during times when it looked like otherwise it failed and need to be blown up. And then locking into that playoff mode, they get better and better and better. And when they get to those finals, they've won many times. The downside is that massive strain it places on the players. It's broken many of them. It's seen many of them have to go to other teams to rehabilitate themselves, often very different squads. And TSM themselves have to scramble for new players over and over. But ultimately, what Reggie said still went. Reggie was still one of the best players in the team. And Kaox was just a player, and sometimes in theory, a weak side player. Then you look, they had Santorin after that. They had Wild Turtle. Now, Wild Turtle's personality, no brute force, no blunt element at all. But as a player, he was crazy. But even then, they reined him in. Famously, they told him he couldn't use Flash. That was one of the ways they took away one of his downsides. But in a sense, inhibited him as a player from being the best player he could be. Now, with Doublelift's arrival, remember, he was coming from being kicked out of CLG for being too difficult. And that's despite some of his teammates obviously winning the championship with him. Some of his teammates felt they could not work with him, did not want to work with him anymore. It was also, by the way, breaking up the best NA bot lane, no less. So the perception, largely pushed, I admit, by the fanatical TSM fans who drunk the Kool-Aid too much, was that Doublelift would be intimidated in TSM. It's not like having Hotshot and he'd be broken in by Reggie and Reggie would use the belt or the whip or whatever the fuck. I actually think, personally, the main thing that made Doublelift a better player as a teammate is he had a better group of players around him, less followers in this particular team than CLG, and as a result, Doublelift flourished. He had people who were his kind of people. So, Doublelift, let's start with this guy, the new addition from CLG. Thing about Doublelift is, don't have too many complaints. He's been consistently good, he's had some really big games, and in general, he's just been good. But his main problem is, it feels like since he's joined TSM, I mean, he used to do this sometimes. It almost feels like the ghost of Wild Turtles inhabited him. Because he does Wild Turtle-type ham shit. Like, uses escapes on champions to go even more balls deep and then try and get a kill. And then either you get the kill or the two kills and clean up, or you can just get killed and you're gone and you've been irresponsible with your gold lead and now you're dead and a carry's gone from your team. He does do that sometimes. With that said, though, in general, I think he's been good and he's been consistent. That's the key thing. I think he's been the best player for this team so far. So I like his performance. I do think in terms of champion pool, he should probably focus more on just playing OP champions. Like, if he has the opportunity to play a Kalista or play a Corki, he should be playing them because he's going to dominate in this team if he does that. Sometimes when he's sticking with Tristana and stuff like that, I'm not sure that's like that. Those are the right picks for him. Now, one thing that does tilt me is people keep talking about past TSM teams and using these terms of like they or they always or things always happen this way. But it doesn't make any sense. Like, people say, oh, TSM always get it together for the playoffs, man. You know, they might do badly in the split, but they always get together for the playoffs. TSM always figure it out in series. Even if they lose best of ones, they'll win in a series. Right? Remember, TSM, if you're talking about Season 5, only one player remains from that team, Bjergsen. That's it. Every other aspect of the team is totally changed. So it makes no sense to be like, they always do. What's a totally different team? They don't. This is Bjergsen now. Does Bjergsen always do that? Totally different, mate. Not only that, they don't even have any of this coaching staff. They have a different analyst and a different head coach. So even that aspect of preparing for all that stuff about Loco Doco, if they lose the first game of a series, they win the next ones and adapt. That's all gone. That doesn't exist anymore. It's a different coaching staff now. All right, I've got one for you. Monty, okay. What do you hate the most about TSM and or TSM players and or TSM staff and or TSM fans?
I actually, you know, I think Reggie's grown up a lot. And so,
it's not as fun anymore, is it?
It isn't, unfortunately. It really, like, I respect what they've built. It's mostly just the idiot TSM fans, but a lot of that stuff has changed. I mean, we're talking, just to be clear, like, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you guys are still so salty. I'm really not salty at TSM anymore. I think that they treat their players well by all means. So I'm not really that angry. And I think the TSM fans have calmed down a lot. It was mostly this ridiculous behavior in the past that I think was shooting themselves in the foot. And they were just, you know, they were sucking their own dick, basically. And they weren't even good at it.
I have to ask this, first of all. This is something I'll ask my experts when I have them on my shows. Why the fuck are these NA teams, particularly TSM, so obsessed with Cho'Gath and Ryze? Why did they think that if they get these champions, somehow they've like won the game already and that these are their comfort champions that are going to be really good? Because in this tournament, they were fucking ass. Those were not good champions for them. And if you looked in some of the other groups, the other teams trying to pick those over and over again, that wasn't that great for them either, actually. I mean, I realize Samsung's a different story, but you aren't Samsung, mate. And also, you haven't got that late game. So, you know, fix the fuck up. Then you got to ask yourself, when you see these weird picks, right? Is this the coach? Because if the coach is doing all this and he has full control, which is what I'd like, right, well, it's easy. Let's get rid of this coach because either we have to get totally new players in that fit the coach's style, or we need to put this coach and he has to go to a team that suits him more because it's not this team. Now, if it's the players having too much input or having some sort of veto power where the coach says, I want to do this, and then they go, ah, do you want to play this champion? Then here's the thing. Ultimately, that still falls on the coach, Path, because he's delegating his responsibility and saying, yeah, you can make the veto call here. So he's responsible for the results. He has to still carry the can if it goes badly. Or if Reginald doesn't allow him to, now the buck goes up the chain to Reginald, and he's not allowing his coach to have proper control here. He's not allowing his coach to do the things that he's prepped for, and he's letting his players short circuit the draft, which is not a good situation, because then you end up with a shitty compromised draft where you didn't achieve what the coach wanted to do, and you didn't achieve the comp he wanted, and you achieve not really all the champions that the players would want, but you achieve some of them, and so you're in this weird middle point where your win conditions are all fucked up, and now you're relying on individual players who might not have the champions to support them to carry the game just because they want comfort or they want a specific matchup in this setting. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
So the other way people might know you is a lot of people don't know this about you, Gilius. You were the MVP of TSM's top 8 run at Season 4 Worlds. You are one of the main reasons why TSM got top 8 at that Worlds. They shouldn't have got out
of that. Oh, yeah.
If Svenskeren had turned up, he'd have played all the games. We all know they would have won some of those games. I think TSM wouldn't have gotten top 8 myself. Now, I'm not biased. Okay? That's just a neutral observer's opinion that is basically grounded in a lot of deep analytical work. Like, it's like every year I put in a lot of time trying to think of ways that TSM suck. And that's one of the best ones I came up with. So Gilius, this is where you could very easily win a lot of fans' hearts. Now, they're idiots, so I don't know how many you'd want to win that. Just by saying that TSM is going to win the group, they're looking really solid, they're going to go deep. What do you think TSM's chances are?
I think TSM's going to finish the group third place behind WE and Flash Wolves.
Now, why is Flash Wolves going to finish ahead of TSM? What's wrong with TSM? They won the split.
So TSM is the kind of team that does well in NA, then goes internationally, and they have some players that choke hard. Like, I don't care what people say about Bjergsen and Doublelift, but they are both chokers internationally. It's a fact. Like, you can watch the last years. They both choke when it matters, and I think the same is going to happen again.
Okay. I mean, I will say that even the people who don't think they're chokers, as far as I can tell, their only reason for them doing badly in key games is always like, oh, but the whole team did badly, and they don't normally play like that. It's like, well, the reason, that's not even an excuse. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
what triggers me about Doublelift is, so this guy had like this fucking hype video about him, like, ah, oh, I put it all on the line. I'm going to win Worlds. Dude, you just took a fucking break off, like a fucking break in this spring split to spend time with your girlfriend. And you're talking about winning fucking Worlds. Like, yeah, I was quite triggered when I saw that video.
Well, that was the best part. He simultaneously said that, like, you know, he'd had time off to sort of like build a relationship with his girlfriend. But as far as I can tell, all you do was stream. So still just on the computer all day. Secondly, you didn't take that long off. You joined Team Liquid anyway. And then thirdly, how does that tie into the storyline that you just want to win Worlds? Like, which is it? Did you sit in a hammock?
I mean,
for 2 months, or do you want to win Worlds?
I've had to make a lot of tough choices in my career, but thanks to the support of my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati, I never have to make tough fights. Financial decisions. So this video and all the rest on my channel are kindly supported by Ahmed Haju, Frisky, Mac Pugnaccio Rakula, Animosity, Jensen Gore, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and you know it if you've ever heard before, and you'll hear it many times in the future. A special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerry Kizminian. Do you want to ask a question in my video AMA? Do you want to be part of one of those long discussions where we talk about whatever you like in esports? Do you want teasers? Find out who the upcoming guests are going to be, or maybe you want to suggest a topic for a future Thorin's Thoughts type video. Well, if any of these perks or others appeal to you, put your money where your mouth is today and join the Skrilluminati by joining the Patreon link in the description box below.